I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not Alex Jones. He ain't Steve O'Bannon. But Trenchcoat Mafia sounds like a hell of a name for a podcast.
TCM.
Or it sounds like maybe some French hitmen in the Chicagoland slayings when they were running moonshine from Toronto.
Did they really go with that as their podcast name?
No.
Oh, okay.
But my thought was this, right? Like the Trenchcoat Mafia as a title.
Right.
Not attributed to the atrocity that it's attributed
okay.
to.
Okay.
Is a sick,
it's sick
crew.
Yeah,
like,
except, you know.
We're the Trenchcoat Mafia, dog.
They took that word out, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, dude. They weren't even nowhere near cool enough to hold a title like that.
No, they thought they were playing Doom.
And I associated with A. Jones and O'Bannon because those are like, hey, Sandy Hook didn't happen
right.
kind of guys.
Yeah, sure.
And now the algorithm heard it and nobody's going to hear this episode. Yeah,
I don't
mean?
Know. Plenty of people hear him, so it can't be.
No, nah, but he's not on YouTube. He was on. It was him and Tim Dillon. He was on
right.
Tim Dillon's show, which
okay.
I mean, it doesn't get more entertaining than those guys.
No, why would it?
But also, I wasn't particularly entertained by. I mean, it was all kind of like we're still talking January 6th, and like I just don't care.
I gotcha.
None of it do I care. I'll tell you about another thing I don't care about.
Okay.
So. First, I got to say the thing.
You do got to say the thing.
Here's the thing, dude. I don't know. I don't remember what the thing is. I'll be a goddamn. Put your hat on the floor mat and wipe off
what
your
about
boots.
Your Tim's, yeah.
Wipe your boots on the coat rack. And this is the manual.
Let's do it.
Hello.
Just
welcome.
Don't take us seriously.
Shalom. Yeah. That part, too. Don't take us seriously. As you can tell by the first 45 seconds, we are nothing to be took seriously.
No, absolutely not.
We are just here for a good time and probably also a long time.
Most likely. So far, I mean, it's been a long time.
It's been a long... so I see... Okay, here's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
That way, if you're tuning in right on the rip of this, you know if you want to stick around or not. I'll tell you one thing is for certain. When the justice system chat comes up,
it gets
spicy.
Loud. Yeah, and it should.
Yeah.
It should.
I get real jazzed up about the justice system. I've learned to, Steph, my wife, used to always show me say his name, dude.
YouTube.
No.
Alex Jones.
Nope.
Trump.
Black dude from Minnesota got choked out by the cops with a knee on his neck. Why can't I think of his name?
Oh, the guy with the statue.
Not Freddie Gray. He was from Baltimore.
Yeah.
Michael something? Jesus Christ. We know his name.
I know.
Anyway, even before him and before Freddie Gray, police brutality has been going on, and my wife would show me different videos. She would pull up a video and be like, can you believe this? And I used to get so viciously heat, like my blood would boil.
Yeah.
Now I've learned to quell that feeling, to be able to like really kind of think through things and not get myself too out of sorts over it. But the things that go on in the justice system disgust me. And so when we start talking about them, I get jazzed up. Go ahead.
I'm totally in agreement with you.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us his name.
Oh, George Floyd?
Yeah, George Floyd. Of course, obviously, we knew that. so there's a little justice system talk today in a few different angles.
That's one of the few things you can bring up that like we're pretty much not going to deviate much at all.
Yeah, we got two different topics there. We got music produced by women.
Oh, all of it?
A small topic there.
All three songs?
We got a little bit of finance talk.
Good.
Because we are the guys that you, should you have like an issue with your financial life, you're looking, trying to figure out where to invest.
Ask us.
You're trying to figure out maybe a new business venture or something like that. We're the guys.
We have a program that you will make $3,000 to $5,000 a week
okay.
from home as supplemental income. It's like effortless. What's that? Passive income.
Yeah.
All
yeah,
you
yeah,
have yeah. To, and listen, it's drop shipping and it's some Amazon stuff.
Yep.
But and it seems hard, but once it gets set up, you're looking at $100,000, $200,000 a year without even while you're asleep.
Right. And they you hear a lot of people talk about it, but we're giving you
we're
the real secrets.
Yeah.
We're actually giving you the insider secrets on that sort of thing.
The entire first class is free. And even if you're just sitting for that, you're gonna find yourself with $500-$600 a month extra. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So stick around for drop shipping talk. Deuces Coco is in the chat.
Finally.
What's up, brother? I used to wild off some bombing fluid. That's now Deuces Coco's intro because I have a feeling he used to wild off embalming fluid.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's doing it right now while he's watching the show.
Might be. Coco, are you smoking dust? Smoking dust.
Speaking of Coco, I was flipping through, you know, last week I was flipping through the talk, as the kids say, and I ran into our boys from Rhode Island.
Warack. Yeah.
This week I ran into the Philly captain.
I love the Philly captain.
Philly captain was out there on the talk walking around with his camera.
He's out there doing it in these streets.
Making things happen.
We got some B-boy talk.
Good.
Now, listen, there's a few things that we know very well here at the TWD, the manual.
Right.
We know jail time.
We do.
We know polo gear.
100%.
We know B-boying and the hip-hop elements.
We do. All five. They say there's five now.
What's the fifth?
Knowledge.
Okay, fair enough. And we know... We know polo gear.
We know polo gear.
Jail time.
Jail time. Rap music. They were going to go elements. Rap music. Yeah, the elements.
We're working on knowing motorcycles, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did we do our 206 check?
What's our 206 check?
Any of your bones fucked up this week?
Got all 206. Don't do that, dude. I'm for real? For real, dude. Hey, I like the joke. I like where your head's at. Let's not do that, dude. Right? Don't go jinxing me.
Once only for that segment, and then we're done with it.
Yeah, don't do it to me, dog. I went for a ride yesterday, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. Most of the time when I'm out riding,
right,
I'm on the street looking for a trail off the side of the road for me to go tear up.
Okay.
That's my whole goal with this thing.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm shooting for the top here, dude. I'm shooting to run a successful ADV bike channel.
Okay.
ADV is Dad Dual Sport.
Dad Dual Sport. Got it.
Dual Sport is, you know, you got a dual sport dirt bike. You ride dirt, you ride street. ADV is the grown version of dual sporting.
Okay.
So, like, instead of taking a dirt bike and making it street legal for a dual sport, the ADV boys basically take a street bike and make it dirt ready. So there's bigger motors, better electronics on them. They're going to more far exotic places. So my goal pretty much at this point is to be on a KTM, probably 690 adventure.
Okay.
Maybe an 890, maybe a 1290 adventure. I don't know.
Just climbing and climbing with these adventures.
Yeah. Be on one of those, maybe in Moab, maybe Alaska.
Okay.
Maybe we get silly, bring it out to the Sahara.
Nice.
You know, something like that.
Just looking for sunburn and bikes.
That's it, dude. I just want to ride machines into the sunset. So we got that. We got hip hop talk.
Hip hop.
As we always do. And, we also know addiction fairly well here.
Yeah, we are familiar.
And we have a little bit of that at the end. All of it peppered with humor and nonsensicality, and we are definitely... also lagging again as we do.
100%, but not on the recording.
You say that.
No, because for real.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, Pay. I don't believe it.
That's fine.
We'll see, but we will see.
I'm showing you YouTube is not getting the data it needs, which has nothing to do with our recording.
Okay. I mean, listen,
I'd rather it was getting the data it needed. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, this is specifically the internet part.
So, I'm listening to this new podcast this week called Letters from Sing Sing.
Okay.
It doesn't take much. If you put the title of a prison in your podcast, I'm probably going to check it out.
You're at least tuning in for the first episode.
So this is one of those like Dateline type of podcasts where it's about a guy who goes and finds the evidence to prove this guy innocent who's sitting behind walls, right? Which, you know... it's whatever. It's been done before.
Yeah, it's interesting enough.
It's not a new concept, but okay. So this one is a Spanish kid who's convicted of murder in Harlem. He's doing 15 years. He contacts this journalist. And the journalist then goes to see him.
Okay.
Which is where the clip comes in that I sent you.
Okay. You want that now?
Yeah, let's play that now. The clip comes in of him...
I can do it.
Going
to... Do we need the video or is the audio...
No, the video is not necessary.
Okay.
This is a clip of when he... And it's only maybe 30 seconds of what we need.
Okay.
Of him getting to the jail to meet this guy for the first time. So listen in, please.
Can I sit over here then?
No,
One of them instructs me where to sit at the table. Across from where JJ will sit. Not next to him. He says it's for my own safety. In case JJ does something, they want me near the door.
Even if he gets funny, whatever, you come right out the door. That's
yeah. But I'm all right. Thank you.
You're all right now, but he said in the event.
In the event. I'm taking the risk, though.
There she is.
No, you're not. I'm taking the risk. The door stays open, okay?
Yeah.
If y'all need anything, I'm Officer Cologne. I'm right out there.
Sounds good.
Now, this bird, this squawking bird is the perfect example of what, at minimum, at what a lady CO is.
Okay.
Right? You can hear this guy walks into the jail as a stand-up citizen who's never committed a crime.
Right.
He's here in the name of justice and honor and report and journalism. And he's getting treated like he's a jerk off.
Right.
Right? Because this lady, this squawking bird, has zero control in her life, I have to assume. Now, she holds herself in some high regard because she has a key to a door. Where in the world do we, nowhere else does a set of keys make you feel that you have that level of power? She has zero power once she's outside that door. But she's hanging on to every thread of it so much so that she gets to the point where she's because I felt disrespect from her. She's disrespecting this dude, clowning him. This is a grown man who said, sweetheart, I'm good. I'm not scared of this dude. I'm visiting my friend, basically, at this point.
Right.
To what she says is like, oh, no. I don't trust your word. What you think doesn't matter. You have to do what I say because this is my world. I think I'm somebody because of this key. Because I sit on that side of the door and can open it and close it, I think I'm a somebody. And this is this in general.
You're really getting fired up here.
Zen pouch.
Take a second for yourself. So I want to, while you're sipping your drink there. I think it's the only situation where the key represents power. I would think like 90% of the time the person with the key is showing some level of fear / precaution, right? Like you lock the doors to your house when you leave because you don't want anybody to break in. You lock the doors when you're done work because you don't want anybody to try to get past. You know what I mean?
Nobody wants keys.
Right.
You give somebody a ring. There's that saying that's like, if you get a key, you need a raise.
Okay, right, because it puts you in charge of security, basically.
Now you got another responsibility that you don't want.
Right.
This squawking bird is thriving on the fact that
she's got a key. She's controlling other people's
kicking,
lives.
Yeah, she's kicking him around. And she's only... Luckily, this guy has some sense and some logic, and he's like, whatever this bird... Because shortly thereafter, the podcast, he goes, Alex came into the room, and I sat next to him.
Right,
like just a spit in her face, just to say, like, listen, lady,
we're gonna do what we're gonna do.
Yeah, like, get the hell out of here.
Now, so do you think that she needs at least some level of precaution when she's doing this? Do you think it's her attitude or exactly what she's trying to accomplish that's bothering you the most?
I think that there's some level of precaution for sure.
Okay,
is necessary
because, like you said, he's a law-abiding, good guy citizen, but is he though? Like, she doesn't know that.
Correct.
So there's a certain amount of.
Here he goes.
No,
because here's the problem.
No, because I'm with you, but what I'm saying is it's not the job, it's not the position, it's her fucking attitude that's the problem. He could have come and said, look, I don't know who you are, so just do me a favor, sit on this side, keep your hands where I could see them. I just need to know I could trust you.
Listen, it has very little to do with her position and everything to do with her attitude.
Right.
The problem is that this is the attitude that's carried across.
It's the base level attitude. She's not an anomaly.
You become a CEO because you couldn't pass the public works, public union, public service. You couldn't pass the public service test for anything else.
Okay.
So now you became a CO. You went to 48 hours of boot camp.
Right.
I know COs personally.
Right.
Who I don't really like in my personal life. They're obnoxious broads like this.
You got one cop and two COs in your life and you can't stand it.
Loud mouth, angry birds. Like, the bird that I know who's a CO is this exact squawking top.
Right.
She sounds like me without any filters on. Squawk. And this is the problem, is that these COs have zero control anywhere else in their life. And
right.
They're wired in such a way that they crave control. It's an odd thing, right? I've never had control of anything, right?
Okay.
Until now, I have a little bit of control of my life, but for a long period of time, I was not in control of anything. I still don't feel like I'm in control of anything.
Control's not a real thing.
And I have zero interest in controlling anything, right?
That's the definitive part. Control is not real, but do you have interest in pretending like you have control? That's what defines.
And I can only attribute that to self-confidence.
Okay.
Right. This is how I piece it together as of right now. Is like, I don't need control of anything because I have control of self, and it's all kind of locked in inside of me. And I'm confident and comfortable in who I am that I don't need you. How many times do I say things like, you know, hey, do whatever you do. Whatever you do, I'm for it.
Right.
I want you to do what you want to do.
Right.
You know, so I don't. Alexander Smith knows some COs and they're cool with him. That's cool. I respect it. I can't tell you that I know a CO. I'm cool with the CO, but she's this same squawking bird attitude of trying to be on top of everything. This CO that I know in the real world, every time she comes into my house, she's telling me who she was arguing with at the grocery store.
Right.
Every time, without fail, she walks in and goes, this is her
this
first words. Absolutely. Every time. You wouldn't believe what this bitch said to me. Every time, without fail. Because there's like this, there's this disconnect in the idea of like, I'm going to be an adult babysitter. Right? I have no power and no pull. I can't work myself into somebody who can have. The only people worse than COs are POs.
What about DAs?
Oh, yeah, they're pretty trash, too.
Okay.
They're pretty trash, too.
I'm gonna throw around initials like that.
But there's this odd thing, like, that for me personally, I cannot comprehend the idea of wanting to be an adult babysitter. Right? Like, okay, you get benefits, you get a $50,000 a year paycheck, but that's like as if there's not another option in the world. There's all the other options in the world besides being a CO, PO, or DA.
Is there a type of CO, maybe they're Tinkerbell, but is there a type of CO who could contribute something to the inmates' lives by doing their job in a certain fashion? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there an ideal CO that if they were everybody's CO, people would be better off?
Like, people would like
them.
There's COs in the joint who are respected.
Okay.
Right? And they carry themselves in. They're respected because they carry themselves in a respectable fashion.
Right.
I feel like. But at the same time, the respect that they're given is an affront. Affront? An affront?
It's fake?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we don't respect you as like the same way we respect the guy who's standing next to us, doing pull-ups in the yard.
Right.
You get respect like, hey, we're going to act as if,
we'll stay out of each other's way and everybody will be happy.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not the same type of respect that two men have for each other when they run into each other on a job site or, you know, some other type of realistic work. Now, I don't think. Through and through, I don't think that a CO can be of benefit because the way the system is structured.
Okay.
Right? Like, there's a couple of old head COs who are like 54. They're on their last year before they get their pension, you know? So they're like throwing caution to the wind and they're like sitting guys down and having real talks with them and trying to be a part of something that helps somebody. But the system, as we've gone over time and time again, is not the system is designed to keep the mind from thinking, as AZ once so supremely said to us, yeah. right? It's not here to have you think your way into a new, better way of life.
No.
We're here to jerk you off so that you raise the recidivism rate.
I mean,
we want you coming back.
It would be better.
That might be true, yeah. And get a little handy on the way out the door. That would raise the recidivism rate. If every time you left the joint, you got a handy, dude, you'd be pulling little...
Think about it. I mean, what's
you'd
the
be
worst
pulling
that can
little
happen?
Minor,
I get jerked off? All right,
yeah,
I'll do it.
Do light felonies every couple of months. Nobody... there would be no incels. Guys would just do a little drunk driving until they got caught.
Right.
You know, get yourself a handy from a CO. Those are the COs. Listen, the lady COs who are out here actually fucksing.
Throwing it around, yeah.
These little, the prostitute COs.
They're doing something for society.
They're the ones who are helping.
They need to be respected.
They're helping the building, right? Because they're dropping levels of pent-up anger and aggression.
Yeah.
By, you know, throwing a little snapper at a guy who hasn't had any in 17 years.
They're calming the testosterone in the building a little bit.
And for that. You know, I think that you let them squawk. If they're throwing snapper around, you let them squawk all they want.
You could say a little bit as long as you're naked tomorrow.
It's like your wife, dog.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're like, okay, hon, yeah. All right, babe.
The amount she can slide on is directly proportionate to how often you're getting it.
Happy lady CO, happy life.
That's right.
In the joint.
That's that rhymes, but that's what they say.
They disgust me, dude. We had at one point... This is the perfect example of worst lady COs in the world, and then we're on to the next thing. All right, I promise we're done with this.
That's up to you.
Sergeant Taco Snapper, we'll call her, right?
Spanish, I suppose?
No. She was a sister.
Okay.
She was the laundry CO when I was in Gloucester County.
That's a whole separate position?
That was her position.
Okay.
Not only was she a CO, she's the laundry CO. So you got no juice in this joint.
They made the female CO the laundry CO?
Hey, ladies, go clean some drawers. She would come into the cell and just start yelling.
Okay.
Like, just kick open the tier door and, everybody line up. Don't come at me with no bullshit. I don't got nothing for you, bro.
You all right? You need to take another sip of your drink?
And she just, and every time, like, the whole tier could be getting along. There could be no beef. Nobody owes anybody money. Nobody fought anybody in the past couple of days. Everybody's got
it up.
And as soon as she walked through the door, the tension and the aggression and anger, fights would break out like in the midst of it because she was just such an obnoxious, disrespectful, can I say cunt?
You just did? So let's find out.
I would love, she's one of the ones that I would love to see out in the world and just tell her, like, oh, you're a piece of, hey, good to see you, fucking piece of shit. Spit on her, maybe. I wouldn't spit on her because I'm a gentleman, but I would.
Consider it.
I would want to.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I'd like to.
Since we're talking jail.
Oh, and we are.
And earlier, before we turned on the cameras, we were talking late 90s Philadelphia hip-hop.
Right.
Nobody represents late 90s Philadelphia underground hip-hop better than fill in the blank. You got to come with the right answer or it's a problem.
Well, you want your answer or the right answer? Because your answer is Jern.
No.
Oh, it's Beanie.
The right answer.
It's Beanie.
Yeah, I want the right answer. Siegel. Nobody reps it.
Nah.
Siegel is kind of is the end-all be-all of that era and that niche in the hip-hop world.
Absolutely.
I was listening to a lot of Sieg over the past two gym sessions.
Okay.
And he had a bar that stuck with me since we're talking jail talk. He had a bar that stuck in my crawl. I don't know what's harder. When they release you or when they sentence you. And I'm like, and I know that bar. I've known it for a long time, but it, you know, I hate to do it, but I'm going to say it. It just hit different, dog.
It just hits different.
That joint just hit different.
When you've been on both sides of it, it
That's
hits different.
That's what I'm saying.
I got you.
Which is such a, but it's such a, one, it's a proof. It's an a stipulation to Siegel's realness.
A testament.
Okay,
to it?
Testament to his realness. I'll use that instead of a stipulation because I, you know,
that might not be a word.
I think it's the right word though. I think it's probably the right one,
dude. I don't have a dictionary,
so
you're probably right.
I'm pretty good with words. It's a testament to how, like, Sieg being real, because you don't, that's not a thing that you understand until you've done a small stretch. You only need a small stretch to understand that concept. I never did a big stretch.
Right.
Everything I did was less than years, 18 months at the most, right? But if you haven't got locked up and then had to come out of the system with nothing, then that sounds crazy to you.
Right.
The idea of, like, I don't know if it's harder to go to jail or to come home from jail.
Sounds insane.
Sounds like a wild idea.
Yeah.
But you have to think that in this year that you're gone, let's just take a year.
Okay.
And multiply it tenfold for every 10 years that somebody's doing, right?
Okay.
Take that year. You've left, even if you had a stable income and a stable home environment when you left, that's gone.
It's definitely gone.
You know, you're not, your boss, 99 times out of 100,
I ain't waiting for you,
is not going to keep your job. Mm-hmm. There's probably a few guys that, like, have to do a year and they work with their brother for right. their dad's company or right, something right. like that, and they have a position when they come home. But for the most part, a boss is going to go, hey, sorry, brother, I got to fill this spot.
Of course.
You can come talk to, if you're a good worker, you can come talk to us when you get home and we'll see if we can fit you in somewhere. But
no promises.
Your rent is not going to be being paid, and even if it is being paid, you know, your lease is up within that year.
Right.
Your mortgage, your house is going to foreclose on. So all these things, life is continuing to go on while your life is now on pause.
Right.
So all these things that are your regular responsibilities, we're assuming that you're a guy who just got a DUI or something like that, and you take care of your responsibilities in life. All those responsibilities now fall to the wayside.
You can't do nothing about it.
And when you leave, there's very little in the way of getting you prepared for getting back on your feet.
Right.
Now, they will send you to a halfway house, you know, and that's a help.
What's the value in that?
So here's the value of the halfway house, which I've found, right? When I was in Trenton at the halfway house, I wound up that with 3 months left, they let me start going to work, right?
3 months left of your sentence?
Yeah, three months to the gate. I was 3 months to the gate, as we say.
Is the halfway house a separate sentence?
Or no, like, no,
are you
no,
saying
it's
like
the same
you were supposed
sentence.
To get out in March, but in January they let you go to the halfway house and start working?
I did the halfway house for 9 months before I was supposed to get out. So okay. Say it's like a year, you know, you're doing a 3 year bid.
Okay.
You know, when you have 1 year left or 9 months left or whatever, you go to the halfway
They'll
house.
Let you roll out.
When you got 3 months left on your halfway house stretch, they were letting us go to work.
Okay.
So now at 3 months left, I went out into the world every day and I jerked around. I'm trying not to curse.
Yeah, you're doing a solid job of it tonight.
I flubbed around I fudged around for a couple of weeks, just being out in the world, wandering. I was doing a lot of walking through Trenton with headphones in, listening to Joel Ortiz, and just breathing air and being happy to be able to walk into the bodega and buy a coconut soda and a Patalillo.
Absolutely.
Eventually, I find a job at ShopRite that is an hour and 20-minute walk each way to work.
Okay.
I cared none.
Right.
I was glad to leave. I was working like four-hour shifts.
Right.
So I would leave an hour and a half or 2 hours before and then take 2 hours to walk home. So now I'm going all day. I'm just going to sleep at the halfway house.
Right.
But I'm working at ShopRite. I was even awarded a little gift certificate for being a fantastic employee because I got hit with a secret shopper.
You're the mad bagger? Get everything in there right?
No. I was a produce expert.
Oh, okay.
I was the man in those. Listen, I was making up shit about produce. Like, I had old ladies coming up and they're like, well, what's the difference between
a
Haas avocado and just a green avocado? And I'm sharp. I've been sober for months now, so my mind's firing at a rapid pace, and I just start going, well, see, the Haases are grown in Costa Rica,
right?
Which at this point, it's the rainy season in Costa Rica, so they're really robust down there because they're getting a lot. They're really growing really well down there.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more because the shipping channels are having some problems lately. But I'm going to tell you, it's really worth those couple extra cents to get a nice, robust, crisp avocado from Costa Rica. Meanwhile, they're grown in a greenhouse in Pennsylvania.
That one singer guy has like 8,000 acres of avocados that that's all he does.
What singer guy is that?
Crap.
Hector Lavoe?
No. It's a white dude. He does a lot of like folksy kind of music. Give me a minute. I'll figure out who it is.
John
Jason,
Denver.
Jason something.
And not anybody I know. So I'm going to ShopRite every other day or something like that, working part-time, and I'm not making much.
Right.
And you're supposed to give a cut to the halfway house. They take like 10% of your pay or something. That's another racket. This is the same halfway house that took my unemployment money that I didn't know that I had.
You're right. You didn't even know you had it.
So it's a racket, but you have a small window of opportunity. If you save every penny that you get, every dollar you get, which you can do if you're, you know, if you have unparalleled self-control and discipline.
Right, because they're still feeding you and all that stuff, right?
They're feeding you. You got a spot to say. Yeah, I mean, you got to go buy your soap and your stuff like that.
Understood.
But also, like, you're fresh into the world. You want to say, hey, I'm working Saturday,
right,
and have the girl who works, you know, in the cereal aisle come pick you up and take you to the Columbus Mart.
No question. But we're talking about saving. So, like, you're not paying any utility bills. You're not doing anything like that.
No, but they're taking 10%, depending on where you're at. Some places take 30%.
Okay.
It depends on what program and what halfway house you're in. But you can say, if you could store it away and funnel it away in those 3 months,
you could stack up a couple bucks.
You might be able to make enough that you now have a down payment for an apartment.
Yeah.
Which I wound up, luckily, I made that happen. Just by the skin of my teeth, I was able to make it happen with a couple strings being pulled.
Okay.
So that's the benefit of the halfway house.
Okay.
Is that if they let you go to work, you have the opportunity. Now, I'm a guy who was raised in a middle class setting where I kind of was, even though I strayed off the path, I was instilled with some morals and values and work ethic.
Okay.
But if you are not, they're not doing anything to guide you in that direction.
Gotcha.
So if you're a guy who's just been running the streets, making crack money and spending it fast your whole life, now you're working and spending it fast without really, you know, understanding that there's not a whole lot of this coming. You know, like, you spend it, now you got to wait till, without really grasping that, and you're going to be jerked. And then you're left to your own devices walking out the door with $200 to your name.
Right.
And then it's like, well, what the hell are you going to do?
You're not going to make it home with that $200.
No. You better hope that mom still has a couch for you to sleep on.
Right.
Otherwise, you're jerked. So they don't. All that goes to say is that, like, coming home probably is harder than getting sentenced. The sentencing, you have no choice, and you get to the point where you just go, up.
This is what it is.
It's what it is. I might as well dig in.
I hope it's less than I thought it was going to be.
Right.
That's the best you can get out of that.
The coming home, you have to rebuild. You have to rebuild X amount of years of a life within, like, now.
Without being able to reset either. Like, everyone, every relationship you have has been stalled out and changed everything. It's not like you can just count on, you know, if you were in a coma for that period of time and woke back up, everyone who you knew beforehand is going to be more than willing to put out a hand and say, come on, let me help you out.
Yeah.
Let me get this back together for you. But in this situation, you can't count on any of that. You can't, once you go to jail, you can't count on anybody that you thought loved and cared about you to continue to do so.
Chances are you're a recidivist and this is not the first time that you've come home.
Right.
You know, which is then people are going to get
worse.
Sick of you.
Yeah.
So I should have put this in the description too.
Sure. No one reads it.
That's true. Crazy Legs, Drink Champs.
Right. You were telling me.
So I don't listen to Drink Champs all the time, but every once in a while one pops up that grabs my attention. Now, there's not one that's grabbed my attention, like Crazy Legs, since I listened to Turk from the Hot Boys.
Right.
And I didn't even know Turk from the Hot Boys was going to be such an attention-grabbing episode. It just happened to...
Just worked out that way.
It just was that. Crazy Legs, I'm like, yes, Let me get that. If you don't know who Crazy Legs is, he's a hip-hop pioneer. He's the guy who created the windmill, was president of Rocksteady Crew. He was largely responsible for breakdancing, or b-boying, as us in the know call it. B-boying's second boom in the 80s to become such a worldwide phenomenon.
First boom is the 70s? Early 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was b-boying in front of the Queen of England.
Okay.
You know, all probably on every late night talk show, Soul Train, probably in front of the president, everywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? So Crazy Legs was like he's a hip hop staple. He, in my mind, what we look at Kool Herc as for the musical facet of hip hop is how I look at Crazy Legs. Maybe not quite, because Crazy Legs is not like the first guy to do it.
Right.
But he was he's like the Run DMC.
Okay.
You know, brought it to the main stage.
He's the first one everybody heard.
Yeah. So he's on the
Drink Champs.
And within the first minute, he drops a quote.
Okay.
And that quote is, "A lot of people didn't see B-boys as stick-up kids. We were living a double life." Which to me, I loved it, right?
I could see that, yeah.
Because as a teenage stick-up kid and B-boy, there was this... I had an automatic tendency to look at other B-boys as, like, kind of soft.
Right.
Right? Like, and I respect you guys for the art that you're doing, and we're, like, doing the same thing. We're both B-boys or whatever, but...
you're not me.
Yeah, you ain't me, dog.
You're not ready to throw.
You ain't VCP.
Right.
You ain't Cousin Balk.
You're
ain't no skills. Right. We're, like, out here in the streets acting like retards.
Right.
And you guys are just dancing. We just got natural skill, which is why we come and wreck shop when we get into a battle.
Right.
You guys got to practice to get on our level. Well, we're out robbing your neighbor for a nickel bag.
You're on a piece of cardboard.
Practicing.
On your back.
Nah, but...
Yeah, I think there's a sort of, you know, whenever there's a man who can dance, who can move around... in a spellbinding way,
yeah.
There's a sort of association of them being soft,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, no matter what the dance is, if you are able to do it well, just automatic, there's this assumption, oh, he's a little light
in the loafers. Yeah. And that's what, and I never really, like, even put too much thought into what Crazy Legs was outside of b-boying.
Right.
But he's telling stories about sniffing blow in Studio 54 and doing stick-ups in Central Park. And there's this realization that, like, oh, yeah, like, the guys that are involved in the elements of hip-hop, graph and b-boying and hip-hop and rapping and emceeing, like, it's softened up so much in its 40, 50-year history. Are we at 50 years yet? 70-something to...
Close.
20,
well, if you're going
10,
back to the 70s,
20,
you might
30,
be, yeah.
40, yeah, we're at about 50 years in hip-hop history.
Yeah.
Oopsie. Toasty. It's softened up a whole lot in its 50-year history.
You think it has, or you think you're just putting those same sort of stereotypical eyes that you did back then on it now?
No, I think it's softened up.
Okay.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No,
I think the fact that it's softened up to... the level that it has afforded more people to make a living out of the culture of hip-hop, whether
okay.
that be one of the elements or the actual music. And I don't think that everybody's soft, but I think that where in a different time, you had to be a street dude to be involved.
Right.
Right? These guys didn't come from...
It didn't have a suburban reach.
No, not at all. I mean, and even if it did, you were a bystander. Unless you
right.
Yeah. Cause even the early white dudes, like the, you know, the Frosty Freezes and Mr. Freeze, who's the white
not Frosty Freeze, I think you're right.
Frosty Freeze might be a tall, lanky black dude.
Okay.
I can't, you know, there's so much things in my head that
yeah.
But one of the Rocksteady Crew kids who was like an original was a white kid from the Bronx. Obviously a tough kid. So it made me think, like, oh, yeah, you used to kind of have to have some street credit to be able to partake in the sports.
Right.
These sports, right? And I think the only one, and not even, because we went over this last week with the European beatboxers. I was going to say that the graph head, you still got to be a tough kid, but that's really only in Philly.
Right.
Right? Like, outside of Philly, the guys who are doing graph and these beautiful pieces are art school kids.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia and the surrounding area, graph writers are still grungy, dirty, don't trust them, creeping through the night, doing drugs, selling drugs, beat you upside the head with a can, take your mother's purse kind of dudes. Coming home from a stretch kind of guys,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
And so it's, you know, over the years, it's softened up. But Crazy Legs let us know that it wasn't always the case. He also, you got something? Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about, like, over that 50-year period where pretty much all of that, you know, all of the four elements kind of came to bloom and fruition. They all pretty much softened up, right? It's not just the b-boying. Like, all of it kind of,
oh yeah,
as its reach expanded, it gets softer and softer.
Yeah, in general. Hip-hop in general. Once we got to Europe, it was over, because
it was done.
It was over. Once we got to, like,
once we hit the Caucasus Mountains.
Slovakia. Now that there's...
Once the Chechens started rapping.
Well, I don't know, dude. The Chechens are probably pretty hard body, because those guys might deserve to be able to be involved. But, you know, you go a little further north to, like, what's...
You get the Nordic countries?
Yeah, you know, there's one that I'm thinking of, and I can't think of it now. There's a big BMX event over there. It's next to Russia.
Finland?
No.
Switzerland?
No.
One of the Nordic
countries?
It's
small, and it's, like, kind of near... It's kind of German-ish.
Luxembourg?
Nah, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Brussels?
Nah, nope. But also, Crazy Legs told us... And I got the idea that Crazy Legs maybe, like MC Search,
okay,
might have a tendency to stretch the truth a little bit.
Okay.
If there's one thing I've learned in my understanding God years of life, it's that I can read when you're probably being dishonest.
Right.
Where you may be able to get it over on the rest of the world... There's like just there's a certain thing that happens
little
in a voice.
Hesitancies in the speaking and everything.
I don't even know what it is. It's not even the hesitancy. It's just the tone of the voice, where it sets off a, like kind of an alarm in my head where I'm like, I don't know, buddy.
It's not all the way true, is it?
Yeah, I don't think you're giving us everything. It's almost like when you're telling the truth, when you're speaking, right? It's as if those words are connected with your heart, your brain, your soul, and they're just coming out regular as you.
Okay.
And then when you start lying, there's like a disconnect. You could tell it's not coming from the same place.
I gotcha.
So I kind of got that feeling from Crazy Legs. I don't know. Maybe he is telling the truth and my radar is off.
Sure.
But he came with a nuclear bomb to say that Herc isn't really the godfather of hip-hop. That there's guys who are saying, who are on that first Herc flyer.
Okay.
And they're saying, I didn't know Herc till 2 years later. That flyer can't be real. He's claiming that the first Herc flyer
didn't happen?
The party is a doctored flyer.
Whoa.
Right.
But what about all the people who say they've attended? They're all lying?
I don't know.
We've done one of those things where, like, what are those, the Mandela effect, where a whole bunch of people swear it happened, but it never happened? That's wild. There's no footage of that party at all?
To his, probably not. It was 72 or something like that. People weren't carrying around cameras like that, especially in the South Bronx.
Yeah.
In a project building in the South Bronx, like everybody, somebody's going to pull out their cell phone in 73?
Some of those documentaries about, you know, the birth of hip-hop and the birth of b-boying and stuff like that have a lot of footage that's just off-the-street footage. I realize not everybody was walking around with a camera, but this was set to be a special occasion, not what it became, but it was set to be a big deal, so no footage at all? That's crazy.
I haven't seen any footage. I also haven't necessarily heard any interviews where somebody says that they were in attendance. That's not to say that those interviews don't exist. I just haven't heard them. So he kind of had a couple of things like that where my thought is that I lean more towards the fact that he's trying to create a viral moment.
Okay.
You know, he's a smart guy. There's no doubt about it that Crazy Legs understands what he's doing because he's built a literal b-boy empire from just coming from the South Bronx as a coke-sniffing stick-up kid.
Right.
And he's been able to create what he's created and spread this thing across the world. So there's no doubt that this kid's a smart kid, but he's also like 60 years old, so he's not really a kid.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I think, and it's happening in a couple other places right now, but like, I think at a certain point, if you're Crazy Legs, you were the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were the guy for quite some time. But now you're 60, and you're definitely not the guy. Occasionally, there's somebody who knows their history who will say, oh, that's Crazy Legs. That man was important a long time ago. So, like, it seems like as you get older, some people who, especially if they had the spotlight for a while, are trying to find their way back into the spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, really, why is he doing drink champs at all, right? He's not... He's got interesting stories, I'm sure, but like his stories would be just as well suited for somewhere where he wasn't getting high and drunk while he was telling the story.
Well, I think I...
He could have gone to the barbershop and talked with Math about it.
I'd like to push back.
Okay.
Because I think that Drink Champs has the tendency to dig into the corners of hip-hop and pull out guys that you don't normally think of as legends and brings them in. Because Crazy Legs... He's a legend, without a doubt, albeit a legend that doesn't come first to mind when you talk about hip-hop legends.
That's fair.
Because you just don't think of the B-boying.
But like this is like the same thing that Melly Mel is doing with Eminem, where if you let him talk long enough, like you were saying, like you can tell when somebody's being disingenuous. Like if you let him talk long enough, he finds his way into, well, he's not very good and he's only famous because he's white.
Right.
And then the next sentence is, Busta Rhymes can rhyme just as good as he can.
Right.
Now, not debating that point, but you just told me that he can't really rhyme at all. So are you also telling me that Busta's
garbage
too? Busta
Rhymes really
talk. Or are you telling me that they're both really good? You got to make up your mind. But these older people clinging to some sort of notoriety. Meanwhile, you know, Crazy Legs is very important. Melly Mel, not as much.
Now, something weird is going on here. Never mind. We've just got a really long delay.
Crazy's going on with the feed, yeah.
Yeah, we just got a really long
delay. It's a really weird thing happening. The recording is going, it looks like it's going fine, but we're on quite a delay, yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess. picture this.
Sicily, 1921.
Picture this, if you will. You are a 19-year-old gentleman.
Okay.
You like extreme sports.
Okay.
You like radical things.
Bro.
Yeah. You're a total bro.
Yeah.
And you've been sheltered for the first 19 years of your life.
Okay. This sounds familiar.
This 19th year comes, maybe you ship off to college.
Okay.
And, you know, guys are getting drunk. They're smoking reefer. They're smoking grass.
Right.
They're taking Molly, eating shrooms. They're having unprotected sexual intercourse
with
women and each other. Yeah,
right.
That too. That all seems a little bit much for your sheltered heart.
It's overwhelming.
However, there's one thing that has always kind of appealed to your gnarlier side.
Okay.
That you've never been able to partake in because of your strict parents.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't get rad the way that you... Your soul is. You know, you got a rad soul.
Yeah.
So when you think of this, you march yourself to the closest 7-Eleven and you buy a Monster.
Okay.
And you take that, you crack that can, and you smell that sweet sugary syrup.
Whatever that scent is, that radiator fluid scent, that antifreeze.
And you go, that's an interesting smell.
That's a new one.
Well, let me take a sip. And you take that first chug of a Monster, and your world is kick flipped upside down.
Light your system up
into a 360 indie grab.
Christmas in June.
You don't know what hit you.
Right.
Your senses are like a bunch of Christmas lights on a tree, blinking, spinning in circles.
Right.
You drink it. You have a wonderful day. Maybe something else. You score 100 on your pre-algebra test.
Something happens in conjunction with drinking that Monster that looks like they're related.
Yeah.
And went better than you anticipated because you had the Monster.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
So what do you do tomorrow?
Two Monsters.
You go get two Monsters.
Absolutely.
Now, before long, you realize
you got a Costco membership.
You're buying Monsters in bulk.
Yeah.
Right? And that's fine for a little while, but you can't keep up a habit like that. Mm-mm. You don't, you know, you're spending all of your money. Now you're skipping classes because you've bought out the local stock.
Right.
Now you have to travel further and further to get that green nectar of the gods.
You got
to
get to the distributor.
So now you're failing out of school.
Right.
Your bank account's getting emptied.
Right. Losing a ton of weight, though.
The thing that you do have going on is that you're gnarly 24/7 because you're monstered up.
That's right.
But things are starting to really fall apart on you. What's going on?
That's not. That's me, not you.
Is your blood sugar up? Do we need to rush you to the hospital? Do we need a blood test?
We don't need to rush me to the hospital, but it is my blood sugar, but we're fine.
What do we need for you?
We don't need nothing. It's fine. We're fine.
You want a beverage or something? You want a monster?
I just cut off the fucking camera, but we're fine. Keep talking about it.
Do you want a monster, dude?
I have one.
Okay. Well, drink up.
I'm trying to.
So now you're in shambles because of this monster energy habit.
Right.
You lose your on-campus housing. Now you're just wandering the streets in a dirty camouflage snowboard jacket. With no money, you've pawned your chain wallet for scrap money so that you could buy another monster.
Okay.
And you just stand outside of the local Wawa waiting for some sucker to bum some change off of so that you can buy a low-tier energy drink. Because you can't even afford Monster anymore. No. You're drinking the pop-off equivalent.
You got the generic stuff, yeah.
4 o'clock in the morning, I go to the gym. Between the 4 and 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
I go to the gym. I stop at Wawa every morning to get 2 big bottles of Essentia water because that's currently the cheapest water in the biggest format.
Okay.
And I was drinking Jocko protein shakes.
Okay.
Because I don't eat breakfast before the gym, so I drink a protein shake. They've sold out of Jocko and haven't restocked. They haven't restocked in any pre-made protein shakes. I'm getting a little nervous and a little annoyed also.
About the protein shakes.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I'm off to the gym.
Okay.
This particular morning, there's a gentleman holding the door.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay. It's a little early for a guy to be out here holding the door at 4:30 a.m. And I look a little closer. He's got a camouflage snowboard jacket on.
There you go.
Interesting. I get even a little closer yet, and I see a smudge in the shape of a chain wallet across his jeans.
Oh, okay.
But no actual chain wallet there. And I go, he once had a chain wallet. That's weird that you would see the remnants of it.
Right. How big were the cuffs on his jeans? Did they cover his whole shoe?
He had on a pair of JNCOs.
Oh, okay.
Or so, maybe they were Rocket jeans.
So did you go to the gym or did you get in a time machine?
This is at the Wawa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I hear you, though. Stick with me.
All right.
I'm feeling particularly charitable this morning, as I many times I am.
Sure.
I say, hey, what's up, bud? Hey. And he's not all there. I could tell right off the rip, he ain't all there. Are we not all there?
We're all here.
Okay, I just heard a beep. It sounded like a goodbye beep, but okay.
No, it was like a Facebook beep, but I don't know where I have a Facebook all open right. That's not muted.
Very well. So he's like, I could tell he's not all there. I'm like, hey, what's up, bud? Hi. And he kind of like looks at me and looks off to the side, and he's worn, you know, he's been out in the sun without any SPF on.
Right. World weary.
Yeah. I say, what are you doing? You're just hanging out, holding the door. I'm trying to get at like, what do you need?
Yeah. How can I help you today?
He's like, yeah, I'm just holding the door. Okay. All right. You hungry? You want some breakfast? Yeah. I need some breakfast.
I said, okay. Sizzly?
I said, great. What do you want for breakfast? I'll get you whatever you want. He was like, whatever's just fine. I'm like, bud, tell me what you want. Let me get you what you want.
Menu's open. Talk.
Yeah. Whatever you want, though. He could ask me for a box of cigarettes, too. I'd have probably got it for him.
Right.
I said, tell me what you want, dude. I'll get you whatever kind of sandwich, whatever breakfast you want. It's on me. He's like, well. To be honest with you.
Like it's contraband.
I'm really just kind of want an energy drink.
You get me a mean bean.
I'm like, an energy drink, cuz? Yeah, I just want an energy drink. I'm like, all right, dude, I'll get you an energy drink. Sure, if that's what you want, I'll get you one. What kind of energy drink you want? What do you want?
Right.
Can you just grab me a rain? I don't even know what a rain is.
The Snapple rain?
No, no. There's an energy drink, rain. Or it's apparently it's R-E-I-G-N.
Oh, like Reign of a King.
Like knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everybody.
Okay.
I say, sure, bud, I'll get you a rain.
Gotcha. What color you like?
That was my next question.
Right.
Which the response was, it doesn't matter.
Right.
As long as this was it. What color do you like? It doesn't matter.
As long as it got the crown.
Hadn't looked at me once up to this point. Gives me a. I just seen the coldness in his eyes.
Right.
He just needed it. And he needed it yesterday. He needed it 10 minutes ago. He needed it in his system prior to right now. So I scurried in. I couldn't find the rain because I don't ever go bottom shelf, dog. I'm not a bottom shelf guy. Finally, I spot it.
Yeah.
It's pretty much on the floor of the cooler.
It rolls underneath.
Yeah. There's three left. They all got dust and a couple of cobwebs on them. I pick it up, wipe it off, and I go buy a rain.
Right.
And give it to him. But I was so blown away that this kid.
Of all the things.
He's strung out on freaking energy drinks, dude.
That's how they get you.
Threw it all away. 4:30 in the morning, he's bumming change for bottom shelf energy drinks, cuz. Let's get it together, Bo.
What if he like works for Reign and that's like his move? Like people now you're walking around thinking that shit is so good that I offered him breakfast, but he'd rather have that. Maybe I need to try one of these, see what it's all about. He's an influencer.
I got a blank screen over here.
I do not.
Okay. I mean, we're also 17 minutes behind on the thing.
Yeah,
so.
It came back. That's where the blood sugar came out, and then it pops back on.
It came back. I was so blown away that this kid had thrown it all away. Like, I thought he was, when he said, to be honest with you, I thought he was going to hit me with like.
Hot or like a car.
I really just.
Like a nick.
Yeah, I really just need like $5.
If you could.
I thought he was going to hit me with this one.
If you get me an 8-ball, that would be
great. I thought he was going to hit me with this old classic. Oh, I'm stuck here. I need some money for the train to get home.
$2 or $3 for a bus pass.
Yeah. I'd have given it to him. You know, like, I'm not I'm a guy who, on occasions, will buy you your fix.
Yeah.
You got to catch me on the right day. I haven't done it for a while, but I'll buy you your fix, whether it's a bottle or a nickel or a dime, whatever. You know what I mean? What are you into? Right. I understand.
Yeah.
I've been there. So the moral of this story, really, what it comes down to is that...
Caffeine, not even once.
Stay away from those energy drinks, because before you know it, dude... You're gonna be out and you're gonna be on Kensington Ave, mainlining bottom tier energy drinks.
Once again, anything can put you on Kensington Ave. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't have to be an illegal drug.
Cause you're gonna be out here on Kensington Ave, mainlining bangs. What's the lowest tier energy drink you could think of?
Chewing on coffee grounds, just trying to get the last little bit out of them.
What is the lowest tier? Bang seems bottom tier, but there's worse off than that.
There's got to be, but like...
I know because I've had some. I've had guys show up on the job site where I'm like, yo, let's get some energy over here. Go to Wawa, grab some Red Bulls or something.
It's not at... So and, that's the thing. You got to be at 7-Eleven or
and they come
like
back
that.
With some real garbage. Because
I've seen that rain
They come back with
before.
A rain. Yeah.
I've seen that can before. But you got to like find like bodega bottom shelf to really, you know, if that's where you're going.
Dollar store energy drinks, 99-cent energy. What's the 99? There is Rip It.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Rip It is a 99-cent energy drink, which is probably, if he was outside of a 7-Eleven, he'd have probably asked for two Rip Its instead of one rain.
They're on sale.
Rip It. Tell you what you should rip. Rip into a previous episode. Rip into yourself. Look deep inside and be the best you can be, I guess.
Be That's, all you can be.
Yeah, dude, because this is, it's, you know, it is 23. Wisdom understanding. Understand your wisdom. Hold wisdom near and dear. Take it. Look at it. Try and get a full understanding and scope before you act. Before you act again, come on back on Monday. We are here every Monday at 8 o'clock. Live on the One Channel. And if you know it, you know it. If not, you should be subscribed to Thorough White Dude on YouTube.
Of course you should. There's no excuse at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, quit playing around. And stay tuned for some sick dirt bike videos.
Yeah.
I'm going to start filming dirt bike videos and get myself strung out on energy drinks
there
because I'm just not that gnarly of a dude. I need a little edge to be gnarly, dude.
You got to get your rock stars to match your rock star jacket while you're out
That's
there.
That's it, dude. That's it.
You and Travis Pastrana just killing it.
This is the manual. We'll see you next time we see you. Thanks for coming by. Make sure you get your boots off of the hat rack and pick up your hat off of the welcome mat and take us serious next time.
Well, or, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Everything before now, don't take it serious. From here until next time, unless we say otherwise, take us serious.